It was, of course, the same in Copenhagen, where British airborne troops were the first to see what freedom from German rule meant to the Danes.
I was in the Royals headquarters squadron of the Royal Dragoons, who were an armoured car regiment, and who had spent the winter parked up on the borders of Holland and Denmark. It was a very cold, hard winter, and the war had come to somewhat of a stalemate, particularly after the disaster of Arnhem in September. After that, there came the great push, which was the crossing of the River Rhine. It was preceded by the largest artillery barrage there had been since El Alamein. After that, resistance was less, and we travelled through the plains of Schleswig-Holstein through various cities that were very badly damaged, and the Royals crossed over into Denmark on May the 3rd or 4th. And we made our way across Denmark and arrived at Copenhagen on the 4th of May, which was the day before the final liberation. I personally was driving a Jeep, and we drove into Copenhagen Square, and there appeared to be nearly a million people on the streets.
As in Oslo, so in Copenhagen, the people not only rejoiced over their liberation, but they also expressed their gratitude to the liberators.
So it was just a fantastic occasion, one that I shall never forget. I think I've got a photograph somewhere of me driving this Jeep, and completely surrounded by all the people who were cheering and shouting.
Presently, when Monty himself drove through the capital, there was one of the most thrilling and at the same time most moving spectacles that this war can show. Obviously, an unforgettable occasion for Copenhagen, but how Copenhagen rose to it.
After the liberation, it was reported that there were 100,000 Germans still in Denmark. They marched back from Copenhagen right across the country through the island of Fyn. And I was sort of in Fyn, and I had to sort of check on these German prisoners. And some of them were actually carrying weapons. And so I managed to relieve them of the weapons. They were Luger and Walther revolvers. The Danish resistance, who were still leaping about the place and enjoying themselves with a lot of freedom, but they hadn't got any arms, so I managed to persuade them to buy some of my revolvers. Anyhow, it gave me a little bit of income. I then was able to purchase a car. It was a really good car, except that it broke down from time to time.
May the 4th. On the evening of liberation, we are lighting candles in our windows to remind us not to take freedom for granted, and in remembrance of all those who lost their lives for our freedom.
50 years on, we flew from London to Copenhagen and spent 3 days at the guests of the Danish nation. And we had a wonderful time. We met the Prime Minister. We marched to Copenhagen Square, where the Queen gave a speech. And then we went to the pleasure gardens, where we had a special lunch. The Danish Rotary Club gave us this lunch. Unfortunately, I was a member of Rotary, so I was able to give a speech in appreciation of their hospitality. I then managed to contact a few of the people I knew 50 years beforehand in Odense, and they came up to Copenhagen, and I gave a small dinner party for these people. And so that ended another fantastic period of my life. This time it is just incredible to think about it, and I obviously watch all the news and see all the difference in the so-called celebration, which is not taking place. It's 75 years on. It's a long time, and I'm very lucky to have survived and to be able to remember all those details.